Good morning.
This morning we're going to be continuing going through a sermon series that began several weeks ago called Change, and we've been exploring how the book of Proverbs, that wisdom literature, calls us to change and explore God's will for us. And so this morning we'll be continuing this as we look through the book of Proverbs, and we're getting nearer wrapping up. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday on this idea, but I'm going to begin by sort of re-looking at what was already read from Proverbs, the fourth chapter. The text says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze directly before you, give careful thought to the paths for your feet, and be steadfast in all of your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, keep your foot from evil." And so this passage talks a lot about what it means to sort of charge forward in the right direction, go the correct way, stay on the proper path, and be faithful to Jesus, to God. But before we get into this, there's a little bit of context that I think is helpful, some verses just ahead of this. When we began this sermon series, we talked about what it means to change our hearts. Because ultimately, that's what God has to do for us to be able to do this. And right before what we just read, it says in Proverbs, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity and keep corrupt talk far from your lips." The heart is an incredibly powerful thing in biblical Hebrew. The Hebrew people understood the heart in a very significant way. They believed that the heart is where we feel feelings, where you feel things, where you think thoughts, and where you make choices about what you desire. And so everything, feelings, thoughts, choices, desires, all of it is wrapped up into this idea of the heart when it's mentioned in the Old Testament. They don't separate your brain from your heart. It's the same. And so from the Hebrew perspective and from the Hebrew prophets, the only true redemption for humanity that we can have comes through the total renewal of the human heart. And we've already talked about this several weeks ago when we talked about how we need God to change our hearts. And it's obvious we need God to change our hearts because it affects everything. And so this morning, though, we're not going to focus on that change specifically. We're going to focus on what it means in that change to be faithful. What it means to gaze straight ahead and fix our gaze in front of us that's been laid out for us in Christ, and what it means to give careful thought to the paths that we take and where our feet land, because in the midst of all of this, there are consequences if we turn off that path. Consequences of evil and destruction, as Scripture tends to talk. Probably one of the most sort of vivid ways to understand this visually is through a high wire trapeze act, right? Have any of you done this before? I'm just curious, actually. Okay, no circus folk here this morning. Yeah, the high wire act is, I mean, I'm terrified of heights. But the way the book of Proverbs talks is like there's this very, like, very narrow path, and you've got to focus on where you're walking, and if you misstep at any moment, you're going to fall off. In fact, I want to share this video with you just so you can understand just how terrifying high wire walking really is.
Go make some history. We'll see you in a few minutes.
Praise you, God. Praise you, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. That's my King. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. I don't want to talk to anyone, Dad.
Okay. I got you.
Praise you. Talk all you want.
That's why the world is watching.
Until you get here. Praise you, Jesus.
You're doing good.
You're 11 and a half minutes. Nick is now at the halfway point of this walk.
I don't know about that.
My dream for my next stunt is to walk between two skyscrapers in New York City. I can imagine the millions of fans that will be there watching.
I did it.
No way. Would you see me walking on a tightrope across the Grand Canyon, right? But did you notice how, like, as he was walking across, he's like praying out to God? I would be praying too. Like, but this is sort of a visual example of what the book of Proverbs is actually saying. It's like, call out to Jesus, be clear on the path set out for you, because if you misstep, I mean, the great chasm that we fall into is not the Grand Canyon, but the spiritual chasm is being apart from Christ and what that means for us spiritually. And so we're called in Christ to walk that path, to keep our eyes focused on what is ahead of us and step forward. But of course there's a problem. I mean, it sounds somewhat simple, but there are so many distractions in life, isn't there? I mean, so many things that can sort of take your attention off the path that is laid out ahead of you. So how do you stay focused in the midst of all of these things? How do you stay focused on what God is calling you to, and how do you stay on that path? If you were going to talk to my wife, and I don't want you to, but if you were, she's not in this service, I may change it by 11, but if you were, she would confess one of my sins to you easily. She would say to you that I'm a terrible driver. And here's why I'm a bad driver, because as I am driving, if I'm distracted by something, it could be a crane building a parking garage, I'm like, ooh, what's that? And so my wife, when it came time for us to get a new car this last summer, we had a car that kind of saw its last days. We go to the dealership, and my wife heard about this feature. Now, let me show you the video so you understand what this feature is.
Lane departure warning systems track a vehicle's position within a lane, usually with a camera mounted on or near the rearview mirror. If the system determines a vehicle has or will inadvertently stray out of the lane, it alerts the driver. Most systems consider the movement unintentional if the driver doesn't use the turn signal. Alerts vary and may include a sound, a vibrating seat or steering wheel, and a visual warning. Lane departure prevention systems help direct a vehicle back into the lane through light steering or braking.
My wife heard that, she's like, I don't care what car we get, we're getting that. I mean, we need that. And the reason why we need that is because I'm so easily distracted, and it's hard for me to stay in my lane and stay on the path sometimes that is intended for me. And so if you ever drive with me, you'll hear that beeping noise actually quite a bit as I'm kept in line a little bit. But my wife heard about that feature and she's like, I gotta have it. You've got to have it. And so we think about our spiritual lives, and what does it mean then to walk on that tightrope, to stay in our lane, to be faithful? What sort of things does God give us so that when we start to veer off, we hear that beep, 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 or that vibration that tells us, pay attention, you're not going the right way? What are some of the things that we look to and experience and try to understand in terms of our own faithfulness that God has given us so that we can follow Jesus? Well, one of the things is pretty obvious because you're experiencing this thing right now. It's called worship, right? I mean, you gather here and worship to it's sort of a check to make sure you're in lane like you're supposed to be, walking that tightrope. And the thing is Bethany is pretty honest actually about this in worship. Not all churches are. But Bethany certainly is. I mean, in fact, we already experienced this. When you come together and worship, what we don't do right off the bat is say, all of you are lovely people, nothing's wrong with you, you're perfect in every way. No, we actually sort of honestly assess where we're at. And that's what confession of sin is really about. It's sort of that recognition that we don't follow the path. Like, we're not always in our lane. And what worship does for us is it calls that out as a reality for us. And it reminds us that because of Christ, there's that gentle correction. We are saved at times from our own destruction because of his love and his grace. And so when we gather together in worship, we're reminded that we need Jesus. Like, we can't do it on our own. We need a change of heart, and we need Christ to do that work for us and give us his grace and his mercy. Another sort of buzz or beep that reminds us when we're starting to stray out of our lane or not walk that tightrope is a Bible study, right? We know this is true, right? What is the clearest way God speaks to us, communicates to us about his will, and explains to us our purpose for him in and through Jesus? It's through his word. And this is why Bible study is so important. Like, whether you do it on your own, or you're in a Bible study on Sunday morning here at church, or whether you're in a small group or a midweek Bible study, like, it's so incredibly important to intentionally be in God's word in some way, because that is the clearest way that God says, beep, 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 correct your driving just a little bit. The Holy Spirit speaks and works powerfully through the word of God. And it's there for you. One of the ways that God sort of keeps us on path, helps us stay focused, is through something that's a tradition in the Lutheran church and some other church bodies as well. It's called confirmation. When I was in confirmation, the pastor, I was in middle school. We did confirmation in middle school. Here we do it in high school. But I remember going to confirmation, and it's basically a study of God's word. It's sort of a study of what it means to faithfully follow Jesus. And one of the ways that the pastor course corrected us pretty hard is we'd all sit down at this table, and he'd pull out his grade book. And he would go around the room and say your name. He'd say, Martin, were you in church on Sunday, yes or no? Well, my parents, yes or no? No. And you go around the room, and if you said no, you lost points. Because what he taught was, like, there's no reason not to be in church unless you're sick and dying, or you're taking care of somebody who's sick and dying. There's no other reason. And he gave us, like, tests and memory work, and if you didn't get, like, a final grade of 95 or higher, we had this thing called summer confirmation, where you had to go to the pastor's office one day a week during the summer so that you could be confirmed. This weekend, we celebrated the confirmation of some of our students. Now, they have it easy, I think, in my opinion. But last night, we had a service of celebration for their confirmation. And they wrote essays that you can pick up in the red folders outside. And the essays describe to them what staying on the path is, what their faith is, and how God is working in and through their life. And what confirmation is in the Lutheran church is that moment where we just publicly proclaim that, yes, this is our faith, and yes, we want to walk that path. We want to stay in that lane. We want to be faithful. And so several of our high school students, last night in worship, kneeled in front of everyone that was here and confessed in front of everyone that is here that they need Jesus and that they want to follow him. And so confirmation is an incredibly formative, disciple-making thing our church does, so that we can understand fully and appreciate fully what it means to walk on that tightrope. Another way that we sort of stay in our lane and walk on that tightrope is through community. I mean, it's through the people that are here, the people that are sitting next to you. And the reason why community is so important is because a brother and sister in Christ can see very quickly when you're maybe not walking the tight rope, or when you're veering out of your lane. And in love and out of respect, they can check you. They can say, where is your heart? Like, what are you doing? What is going on? How can we walk with you? The community of God is the way that we're encouraged and uplifted and led. We walk this path together. We support each other on that journey. Perhaps one of the most significant ways that Christ keeps us walking that path and moving in the right direction is honestly through himself, through Christ himself. In our gospel reading, I'm just going to revisit from Matthew chapter 4. There are two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they're just hanging out and they're fishing and they're doing their thing. And all of a sudden Jesus walks up to them and he calls out to them to come and to follow him. And in this moment, this disciple-making formative moment, they hear the words of Christ and immediately they are changed and they know that they have to go. I mean, they see Christ and they hear Christ and they begin walking with him and seeing the healings and hearing his words and their hearts are racing and they're excited about what he's doing and they can't help but be all in and follow him. And they want others to do the same because of how powerful and impactful his call has been in their lives. It's not unlike my wife hearing about the safety camera. Like, you got to have it. We got to do this. We got to go. So people hear that call and they begin to follow. You see, Jesus reaches into your life and it's not perfect. But what's intriguing about Jesus is that his correction, his beep, 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 his vibration, his attention getter is unlike anything else in this world. Because instead of coming after you and saying, you're wrong, here's what you did wrong, here's how you need to get in line, here's how you need to shape up, here's how you have failed me, here's why you're a disappointment, here's why you're no good. Jesus comes and he says, I love you. I want you to be with me. You're perfect in me. Just rest with me. Jesus' correction is a correction of love, a correction of grace, a correction of mercy. It's not about judgment. It's about life. Jesus says, I want you to live as I have lived. I want you to live how I continue to live. See, the path for Christ was his death on the cross, but he defeated death. He rose again. And there's a new heaven and a new earth waiting for us in the future. And Christ is saying to you, just be with me, and I will help you cross that canyon. We will pass over death together, and coming out of death, you'll have everything, a new life. You see, the way we look straight ahead, the way we keep focused, the way we stay in our lane is through Jesus. Through his call to come and follow, and through his mercy and his love and his grace. And so let's all keep our eyes focused on him, and every step we take will lead us home. It's in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.